We're going to read from God's Word this morning from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. 1 John, chapter 4, starting at verse 19. And this is where I make my other Pastor Paul joke this morning, is where he seems like, you know, notice lately, he's always talking about how old he's getting and then has to do something to demonstrate. So this is where I demonstrate that I, too, I managed to put this off for 51 years, so I was pretty proud of myself, but not so much anymore. Will you join me in prayer, please? Lord, we thank you for your word and for the time we've had to praise you already. And now, Lord, we turn to your word, and we look for it to inspire and equip us. I pray, Lord, that the things that we read, the things that I say this morning, are things that truly come from you, that do indeed equip us and encourage us and inspire us to be your hands and feet in the world. In your name we pray, amen. Again, 1 John, starting at verse 19 of chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, cannot love God, who he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. God bless the reading and meaning of his word this morning. It is the most basic question ever in the history of mankind. The most fundamental question it's asked by every living being who's ever existed, and particularly children. Children are really good at asking this question. And yet, interestingly, it's a question most of the time we don't really want to answer or have answered for us. And that question is why? Right? We know kids do this all the time. Eat your vegetables. Why? Because they're nutritious. Why? Because God made them that way. Why? Because I said so. Which is usually the end of it, right? We hope. And yet, it is a question, like I said, we so often try to avoid the answer. And why is that? Because I think we're afraid of the answer. I think we're afraid of the answer and afraid of what it might require of us. Question of why. Most of you who know me are aware that my favorite type of music is British progressive rock from the 60s and 70s and so forth. And one of the bands to come out of that era was a band many of you have probably heard of called Genesis. And they became more of a pop band as the years went by, but they would often put out music that had really powerful messages and asked powerful questions. And one of their songs came out in 1993. It's called Tell Me Why. And here's some of the lyrics from that song. Mothers crying in the street, children dying at their feet. Tell me why, tell me why. People starving everywhere. There's too much food, but none to share. Tell me why. Tell me why. You say there's nothing you can do. Is there one rule for them and one for you? Tell me why. Just tell me why. It's pretty tough questions there. Have you noticed lately, maybe not even lately, but have you noticed how Christians seem to become increasingly ineffectual in this world of ours, how the church has lost so much respect in our society, how the name of Jesus is more likely to show up in a curse these days than in a prayer? I believe it's because we who claim to follow Christ fail to start that journey with the most fundamental question, which is why? Think about how our lives would be and must be absolutely different if we started from the place of why. Think about that. I think that the scripture we read this morning really kind of underscores that. We catch a glimpse of the answer to that question. How would we live? We would live with unconditional love for God and for others. How come? Because he first loved us. Very simple, very straightforward, and very powerful. Why? That's where we need to start. There's a man named Simon Sinek. He's the author of a book on leadership. Some of you may have heard of it, called Start With Why. And he recently, well, actually it's been about 3 years now, so not so recently, gave a TED Talk. TED Talk being these presentations that happen with various innovators and forward thinkers of our society. And his speech, Start With Why, is actually one of, if not the most viewed TED Talk since these started some years ago. Just on YouTube alone, there's something like 2 million views of this particular speech. And Sinek created a leadership model which he called the Golden Circle. I'm going to ask that that be thrown up on the screen for us this morning so you get a sense of what that looks like. So the Golden Circle. Hopefully we'll see it here in a second. Fire away. There it is. Very simple. The Golden Circle. And what Sinek says is that, you know, the truth is that nearly every person can describe what they do. They can describe what they do. What's the first question we ask when we meet somebody? What do you do for a living? Oh, well, I do this, I do this. I'm a homemaker, I work at this company, whatever. Almost everyone can talk about that, and many of us can describe how we do it. We can say, most of us say, or all of us can say what we do. Many of us can say how we do it, or at least our piece of it. But not very many people can articulate why they do it. And what Sinek is suggesting through this Golden Circle image is that we ought to turn that on its head. Instead of starting with what and moving out through how and why, we ought to start with why. That's the place. In fact, he says that the most effective leaders, the most effective organizations in the world start with why. The truth is that people don't buy what you do, and they don't care how you do it, but they will buy why you do it. So, and why is that? It's because what is sort of the rational element of it? It's the head part, right? It's the rational element. The how is the hands, the fingers, the appendages and getting stuff done. But the why gets to the heart. And we're emotional creatures. As human beings, we're emotional creatures. We care about what goes on in the heart. So we start with why. We start with the most basic element of what we are as human beings, the emotional part, the heart. 250,000 people, as an example, didn't show up in Washington, D.C. in 1963 to hear Martin Luther King say, "I have a plan." They showed up in Washington because they wanted to hear him say, "I have a dream." And that dream so touched them emotionally, so got to their hearts, that they wanted to be part of making that dream reality. Start with why. So if this is true, if why is really the place we ought to start, the emotional part, the heart of our message, then why is the church so wrapped up in the what? And I contend that's what happens. We have a conversation about our faith. We start with what? What? We are God's people, redeemed for eternity. How? Because Christ died for our sins. And so, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? Yeah. It's all true. Those words are absolutely true, but do they inspire? Do they really get to the heart of our faith and what God has done for us? I would contend that they don't. And that's the nicer example. The other example, of course, is the old-fashioned turn and burn, turn or burn approach, right? Which is entirely rooted in what and how. Stop cheating on your taxes or you're condemned. Stop sleeping around or you're condemned. Stop being gay or you're condemned. Stop voting Democrat or, well, yeah, you get the idea, right? Who's going to listen to that message? No one's going to want to listen to that message. How is that going to inspire people to embrace a loving God and do loving things for others? Now, I don't want anyone to walk out of this auditorium thinking that I'm suggesting that we should soft pedal the tough elements of the gospel message, that we should somehow pretend that sin doesn't bring condemnation. I am not saying that at all. What I am saying is, let's get to the heart of the gospel. Let's start with why. Why? Why? God loved us. God loved me so much, even giving up his son to save me, that I live every moment of my life in passionate, sold-out love for him. That's the why. how I pour my energy and my resources into showing His love to others. And what I want you to experience that same saving, passionate love too. There's nothing soft about that message, folks. Nothing soft whatsoever. But it gets to the heart of the message. Why do we love God? Why do we do these things that Christians are supposed to do? Because He loved us first. That's the why. Remember, people don't buy what you do. They don't care how you do it. But they will buy. They are interested in why you do it. So how come it's so hard to live the Christian life according to the Golden Circle? Because I think it demands so much more of us than warm feelings, a few praise the Lord's, and a verse of Jesus loves me. It's tough. It's tough to start with why. Remember, I held up the sonic screwdriver, right? Which I'm bringing up now just so I can hit the button again. I think it's really cool. Right? It's a cool toy. I spent way too much money for it that I don't have, but it's a cool toy. But it doesn't do anything. It's a lot of noise and light, but it doesn't do anything. There's no purpose for it. There is no why to it. Now let's look at a different example of someone who does get the idea of why we start with why. Pastor Nijon. He was arrested in 1982 in the Nuba Mountains of Sudan, and he was brutally tortured for a very long time in prison for daring to share the gospel with his Sudanese brothers and sisters. In particular, the torture that he endured was electrical shocks, so severe that at one point all the scriptures that he had absolutely committed to memory, that he could spout just as quickly as you were to begin to even suggest what a verse might be, he couldn't remember them anymore. Because of the damage done to his brain. And eventually he was released. He was scarred, physically scarred, emotionally scarred by the experience. And when he was released, the expectation was that if you ever come back here again, not only will you endure the same kinds of tortures or worse, those tortures won't stop until you're dead. Now that was back in the 1980s. What do you suppose Pastor Nijon did? He's still, to this day, in the Nuba Mountains, still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to his Sudanese brothers and sisters, knowing full well that the next knock on the door could be the one that takes away his freedom and ultimately his life. Why? He gets the why. He started with why. He knew that God loved him first, and he felt God's presence when he was there in prison. He summed it up in five simple words. God was always with us, he and his fellow captors, prisoners in prison. God loved him first because God is Emmanuel, God with us. He recognized that. And he said, this is where I'm starting. This is why I'm living my life in sold-out, passionate love for God and for his son, Jesus Christ. So here's a question I'm going to pose to anyone who's been a Christian for 80 seconds or 80 years. How would you live your life differently? Would you live your life differently if you started with why? Would you dare live your life differently? And I'm encouraging everyone to ask you that question of yourselves this morning. As I said, we just celebrated our nation's birthday and all the freedoms that we're blessed with. We don't have to worry about someone coming in the back door this morning and saying, this gathering is illegal. We can worship God here as long as we want. Way past the hour that we set aside on Sunday mornings, right? Any Sunday, any day of the week, any hour. We can go on the street corner. We can meet in a restaurant. Doesn't matter. We don't have to worry about the things that Pastor Nijon has to worry about. But maybe that's a little too easy for us. Maybe that's reason enough for us to ask ourselves just how committed we really are to the God of the Bible, whether or not we're really committed to starting with the why. Does it go beyond getting a rush on Sunday morning or a rush from listening to talk radio? Does it go beyond a political stance? And an entirely different topic that I'm not going to get into, I think we spend an awful lot of energy talking about politics instead of talking about Jesus Christ as Christians today. Would you sacrifice a few comforts for someone in need? Maybe if that person in need, quote unquote, deserved their problems? Yeah, they're drug addicts. Yeah, they're lazy. Yeah, they're, you know, they drink too much, whatever. But would you be willing to give up a few of your comforts to help them to maybe understand what God's love is about? Would you work in the burning sun on a mission trip in Kentucky, even at the risk of your own physical well-being, as some people in this church actually did just a couple of weeks ago? Would you read to a child as part of Kids Hope? Would you even put a little bit more than your tithe, if you are even tithing, into the offering plate? Or would you even turn to a person you don't know in the pew next to you and dare to say, hey, welcome. So glad you're here. I'm glad God's glad you're here. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to live in the why. It's uncomfortable. And yet, in words from a man I bet you never thought would be mentioned in the pulpit of a church, Friedrich Nietzsche, a man who proclaimed that God was dead, and yet every once in a while would throw out a thought that made me think that maybe God was still working on him, even in the worst parts of his life, where he made this statement: he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. And Pastor Nijan is an example of that. Back to the song from Genesis, Tell Me Why. Another tough question gets asked here, and at first blush, it seems like a question that's questioning God. But I think if you pay attention to the words, that's not who's being questioned at all in this verse. It goes, if there's a God, is he watching? Can he give a ray of hope? So much pain and so much sorrow. Tell me, what does he see when he looks at you? When he looks at me? What would he say? Because it seems there's no one listening. It seems there's no one listening. Are you listening? I ask myself that question every morning. Am I listening? Am I listening for that still small voice, the one that whispers, it's not about what or how, it's about why. Why? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let that drive how you live your life and what you do. And why? Because, God says, I first loved you. I first loved you. Start with why. Amen.